Return of the G1 reissues. New Masterpiece Convoy unveiled. Canadian Postal Strike. This is Geek Existence Transformers.
Now, all we need is a little Energon and a lot of luck.
So welcome to Geek Existence Transformers.
I be your host, Eclipse Fearful, and with me be...
Suki Grabbit and Calibatron. I would say I remember when I first got into collecting.
Predacons, terrorize!
Hey everybody, this is Greg Berger.
And me, Grimlock!
And you're listening to Geek Existence Transformers.
Hola, señores and señoritas. Bienvenidos a Geek Existence Transformers, episode number 29, recorded June 16th, 2011. Yo soy Weird Wolf, acompañado el Insane One, Insane Galvatron.
Dude, how many times do I tell you, English, we don't speak Spanish.
Hey.
Yeah, we need to just take like the clip, audio clip from the first Transformers movie where they tell that guy, dude, English.
Hey, yeah. I might do that if I can find my rip of... Transformers. Well, here we are once again for another episode of Geek Existence Transformers. Thank you for listening and have a good day.
That's the end of the show. Good night, everybody. Have a good week.
No, seriously, though.
That would be a funny still podcast.
Still on the wind down from BotCon 2011 in Pasadena, California. Again, if you didn't listen to last week's exceptionally long podcast covering the event, we both had quite a good time. And now our eyes are turning toward the International Tokyo Toy Show, which was this weekend. And at the end of, I believe, June, or is it July, San Diego Comic-Con is coming up.
Yes.
So we've got some eyes peeled on that. Greg, can you remember some of the your favorite things from San Diego Comic-Con in the past? Some of the biggest surprises, or
I don't really remember news-wise, but I do, because for me, San Diego Comic-Con is always about the really cool exclusives that they have that are available for purchase on Hasbro Toy Shop. And to me, my biggest San Diego Comic-Con memory is the Alternators Nemesis Prime fiasco. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was it went up, and the website crashed, and people were trying to order it, and they couldn't, and it was just a big mess, because Hasbro Toy Shop was still kind of new at that time and still having growing pains, and they just could not handle the traffic. You know, people were calling because they couldn't get on the website, and some operators were telling people, oh, sorry, you have to wait for the site to come back up to place your order. Other operators were taking their information to place the order later, and it was just a big cluster as far as to who was actually getting one and who wasn't. And, yeah, that was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember that, too. That was, what year was that? It was 05?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
See, I remember, I got my, my Nemesis Prime. I can't remember how I got it. I'm thinking I got mine through BBTS. But, yeah, I remember reading on the message boards how some of the people were really, really screwed over back then. It's gotten a whole lot better since. I know, I think it was a year before last, San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, which was the Alternator Rodimus. Out of the Alternator Mirage mold. You know, it looks great, but for some reason, nobody really seems to want that mold because there was a dealer at BotCon this year that had probably 20 or 30 of them for about $30 a piece.
Really? I didn't see that. So,
yeah, and I almost bought one the last day of the con, but... You know, seeing as how my money was getting a little bit tight, and I figured, well, I could buy one figure for $30, or I could buy two or three for the same amount of money. So I opted for the two or three. And I believe it was Toy Arena that had them there for that price. And I checked on their website, and they're selling them for around 50 or 60. So
that was the BotCon special.
I guess it was the BotCon special, and I wish I could have bid on that, but I just couldn't do it. And then, of course, last year's San Diego Comic-Con exclusive was the reissue Blaster, G1 Blaster, and the tapes.
Bought that?
I bought that twice, actually. I still have one sealed.
I think that was last year. I think the year before was the Soundwave and the tapes that they had. And then Hot Rod might have been the year before that. But I think it was 2006 or 2007 when they had the Classics Nemesis Prime, which was, you know, the black repaint of Classics Prime. And it was funny because that one was in stock for a really long time. I mean, it was there for like a couple years. It didn't even sell out. And then all of a sudden, one day, they went from having hundreds in stock, because you could put in like, you know, 1,000, and it would automatically adjust your cart to what they had in stock. And it went from hundreds to nothing, to sold out overnight. And everybody's like, well, what happened? Why the sudden rush? And then, like, 2 days later, all of a sudden, they had a new listing for, you know, Classics Nemesis Prime, AFA graded, and there were hundreds of those. So they took them all and had them all AFA graded and then put them back on the site at a much higher price. Not sure what was up with that decision. Yeah,
that's that was kind of a mess there too. Although there are some places you can find the Nemesis Prime.
I have three.
I wish I still had mine, but I don't know though. I mean, you know, it's that one really didn't have a connection for me. I mean, it was a nice mold or a nice color scheme on it. But if they called it Scourge, maybe, you know, I mean, as an homage to R.I.D. Scourge.
It seems like, but for whatever reason, the character was Scourge in R.I.D., and then it was a very popular character and toy, so they made a habit out of repainting other Optimus Primes into that color scheme, but they started calling them Nemesis Prime instead of Scourge, and I don't know why. But to me, they're Scourge homages.
There's actually kind of a movement on some of the boards. I know TFW 2005 has a SIG mem going on right now. It's Nemesis Prime, or it's Scourge, not Nemesis Prime. I don't know if you've seen some of those SIGs, but I kind of agree, though. I mean, he's always been Scourge to me those colors.
Care. It's not the first time I have renamed a toy. Just because the packaging gives it a name doesn't mean it's that character to me. Yeah, you know, I like the Classics Nemesis Prime because to me he is Classic Scourge. He is just, you know, another version of Classic of Scourge. Although now
not
with the
G1 Scourge, you know what I mean? Yeah, don't confuse the characters.
It's the R.I.D. Scourge in Classic. It's the Classics version of R.I.D. Scourge. That's my take on it. That's why I like it. Although we now have the RTS G2 Prime mold, we could actually get a legitimate Classics R.I.D. Scourge. Hopefully.
Would be awesome. I'm surprised we haven't already seen a solicitation for it in some way, unless they plan on for it somehow being a BotCon exclusive.
Oh, please,
no. If so, then there is going to be some fan rage.
I will buy it, but I will not be happy about the fact that it's so limited because I know a lot of people won't be able to get it.
Yeah. But turning our sights to the International Tokyo Toy Show, I get it out here in a second. Looking over some of the news, which we'll cover later on, but looking over some of the news, there's some really exciting stuff coming out of that. You know, I really wish that at BotCon Hasbro would have said something about this, knowing that there is a huge collector base and that we import a lot of toys. You know, it looks like Hasbro would have at least mentioned it to give their BotCon panel a little more pop than it did. I can understand that, you know, Takara Tomy is not Hasbro, but
If they're not planning to import these toys, though, it'd be kind of poor taste to be like, hey, look at all these cool toys we know you want, but we're not going to offer them to you.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter one way or the other whether they're going to offer them to us or not. We can always import them, as we do anyway. You know, so what difference does it make? You know, I mean, they are Transformers. They are official. You know, why not Hasbro just owning up and saying, okay, we know you're collectors. We don't have plans on bringing these to the United States in mass release. So, you know, you might want to pick up these cool figures that's going to be announced. Maybe they wanted to. I mean, I'm not going to totally diss Hasbro and say that they should have done that. I mean, I kind of wish they had. But, you know, it's a possibility also that Takara Tomy was just not ready at the time of BotCon to announce such a thing.
Of course, the Tokyo Toy Show is basically equivalent to their BotCon as far as revealing new toys. Maybe they wanted to, you know, they didn't want their surprises spoiled over in the U.S. first. That could be a reason.
It's possible. It's possible. Well, without further ado, let's move on to our first segment of the night. Time now for our eBay item of the week. Okay, we've actually got two eBay items of the week this week. Kind of a spoiler for one of the news items. Yes, G1 Devastator is getting reissued. And that's probably the biggest news item that we're going to have, but I think some of the rumors you may like as well. But the G1 Devastator original gift set that was released by GIG in Italy, I believe. Was it Italy?
Yeah, I think it was Italy, and I think maybe even some other European countries, but I'm not going to swear to that. But I know they did do at least Italy.
And as well as our other auction, which is for the Japanese Devastator gift set. Seeing as how these popped up on eBay right now, I'm kind of thinking this one here, the Japanese one especially, I'm kind of thinking that it's more or less a preemptive thing. It's like, okay, these are going to be reissued very soon. This box set value is going to plummet very quickly, you know, so maybe the seller is trying to cash in on the fact that, you know, there's some people out there that don't know.
Yeah, maybe some high roller, reissued. Some high roller that wants this gift set doesn't know it's going to be reissued and will buy it. And, you know, this is one of those deals where every time they do something like this where I have something of value and, you know, I find out that it's going to be reissued, it's like, you know, for example, I have the anime Astro Train. At one time, this thing was going for $400. Now the price has dropped a little. I think they're around $250 now, just because of the economy. People aren't willing to drop that much change. Plus, I think classics came along, and people are more into that than the G1 stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's like right now, okay, it's worth $250. I have no desire to sell it because I like it. But if I knew there was a reissue coming out and I could get somebody to give me $250 for it, I mean, they reissued Sunstorm, why not? But yeah, it's one of those deals where you wish you'd sell it before the news came out. You know, it's like, man, why couldn't I have the kind of luck where I would sell it, and then the news comes out, they're reissuing it, so I can buy it back cheaper. But that never happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got a vintage original Devastator complete. It's actually the one from my childhood, and I will never sell that guy because, I mean, it has so much sentimental value. As a matter of fact, one of the components of Devastator, if you may remember in a very early episode of Get, one of the components of Devastator, Bone Crusher, the Bulldozer, was my very first Transformer. And, you know, just the specialness of that toy alone, Devastator will always remain in my collection and will always hold a special place to me. And, you know, seeing these eBay items of the week here, I guess I'll cover the Japanese one if you want to cover the GIG one. The Japanese one here, the price on it is $999 for the gift set. The seller is Transformer G1. Item location is Hong Kong. And the item number is 270-645-786-855. He accepts PayPal payments, but, you know, honestly, I would recommend, unless you're absolutely dead set on picking up a vintage Japanese version of this, pass on it, wait on the reissue, because it is coming. The item description of the Japanese box set is, it is the actual Devastator gift set, D37, mint in box. It's extremely hard to find the Japanese version of it. It is complete with all accessories, and the box is complete with nothing removed, and it also comes with all the instruction manuals. There is some ink tampering on the edges of the box, but I don't think that's a big deal. I mean, it looks like a gorgeous piece. I know that's what she said, but it's I mean, I wouldn't mind having this.
That's what she said, you know,
too. Yeah. Not for $1,000.
No.
Especially with the reissue coming up. It's also got a $50 shipping and handling fee. But, I mean, if you want to see what the vintage G1 Devastator gift set from Japan looks like, check it out at the eBay auction I just mentioned. Greg, you want to talk about the GIG?
Yes, the GIG, or as I prefer to call it, the GIG version. I've only ever read it on websites. I don't know if people pronounce it GIG or spell it out. But, yeah, this one, it's a Transformers G1 Devastator mint in box Hasbro gift set, GIG D37. The item location is France. The seller ships worldwide. The price is $290,529,284,984. And it has a buy it now or make offer. The buy it now is $799. So unless, you know, you think a Japanese box is worth $200, this is a little better bargain, plus only $20 for shipping. And it looks...
I think
from what I can tell, it looks pretty much identical, the packaging-wise, to the U.S. release, except it has the GIG logo down in the corner over top of Mixmaster's grill.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't know if... Is there any...
I mean, there may be some language
Spanish
differences
on the back of it or something.
Yeah, anything,
actually, the names are in Italian.
Okay.
I
clicked on it, zoomed up. Yeah, it is. It says Devastator Il Grande Robot.
Il Grande Robot.
Il Grande Robot.
Hence the intro, people. If you're wondering why I started out speaking very bad Spanish, that's why.
Well, I wonder if that's Spanish.
Spanish or Italian, I guess.
Yeah. But, I mean, Il Grande sounds more Spanish than Italian, well, but I don't know why Italian that way.
They're not identical languages, but they have roots in Latin, so they have some similarities. But it's also important to note that the Devastator box set was knocked off a number of years back, was a high-quality knockoff as well.
I have that.
Can you tell us a little bit about the high-quality knockoff and maybe some of the differences that you noticed?
I don't own a G1 Devastator gift set, but from what I understand, the packaging is darn
near
identical.
Well, you own a G1 Devastator, though.
I do own a G1 Devastator.
That's what I'm saying.
Did not own him in, you know, original. I've got picked him up secondhand, so I don't know if this Devastator's joints have just loosened or if that's the way they came. But the biggest thing I noticed about the Devastator knockoff was that the joints seemed to me like they were too tight. In fact, some of the chrome plastic on Long Haul, where as his bucket, you kind of dump his bucket around to transform it to the legs. After it gets so far, there's kind of like a curved surface on the chrome pieces, that, so the legs will spread apart as they fold out. But the joints were so tight that rather than the legs spreading apart, it actually sheared off part of the chrome plastic. On one side. So yeah, they were extremely tight. Whereas the vintage that I picked up, which I probably mentioned in an earlier podcast as well, you know, everything transforms like it should. I mean, the joints aren't loose, like they're not floppy, but they're not so tight that you're going to feel like you're going to break it or actually break it when you transform it. So that's the biggest difference I could tell, is that unless the original Devastators were all that tight and they loosened up with play, the knockoff was just the joints were way too tight, which is kind of unique because usually when you get knockoffs, the problem is that the joints are too loose.
The colors, do you think the colors accurate?
Yeah, it was spot on. I mean, as far as looks, I mean, you hold it up next to the real thing, you can't tell the difference. The only way I can tell the difference is to transform it and see and feel the overly tight joints.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be picking up the reissue. I'd actually like to pick up two of them. even though that I have a complete vintage set, you gave me your knockoff box, and that's what I display my vintage ones in. However, I would very much like to have one just to keep sealed, because I know that it is identical to the, well, is close or closer to the originals than the knockoff, and it's also official. I want to keep one sealed, and I would also like to get one to open up. It's a possibility that that what I would do is open the one that I would open up. I would combine it into Devastator, and display it that way. And then my vintage ones, take them out of the knockoff box, display them in the robot modes, and then display the second reissue sealed. I think that would be a great way to display it, especially for such an iconic and sentimental character for me. That's the only reason I would really want to buy two of these reissues.
Well, in actuality, the knockoff box I gave you wasn't to my knockoff set. My knockoff set is still in his box. That was an extra box I got from a deal I made on the TFW boards in the Junkion Exchange. A guy had this big load of Transformers. He's like, and there were some Star Wars and G.I. Joes, a whole big bunch of stuff. And in that lot was the empty Devastator box. I don't know why he had the empty knockoff box, but he had just the box. And that's the one you got.
I was assuming it was the one that you had that you just took it out. I took out your knockoffs and was displaying them that way. But
no, I just had an extra box because I picked it up in a lot with a bunch of other stuff. Which just kind of, I know this is kind of a rabbit trail, but I'll shoot it real quick. That entire box of stuff he sold to me for $100 shipped. I kept the Transformers out of it, gave you that box, and then all the Star Wars and G.I. Joe stuff, I submitted an email to BBTS where they buy collections, and they gave me $120 for all the remaining stuff. All I had to do was pay the shipping, which was $20. So I pretty much got all the Transformers in that lot for free.
Sweet. Great deal. You know, that's part of being a collector is making deals like that, you know, picking up something or maybe even a lot that, you know, I mean, it might be costly for you at first, but you know, if you turn around and are able to make money on stuff that you don't want or don't need, you know, it can actually help you in the end.
Right. Yeah,
I know a lot
case.
Of collectors that's done that very same thing and really made their collection grow by doing just that.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to like rip anybody off or just flip toys for profit. I just wanted the Transformers. I didn't want the other stuff.
Well, how are you ripping anybody off? I mean,
it's just
it's stuff you didn't want.
Right. It's just stuff I didn't want. Just happened to be worth as much as I paid for the whole lot.
I mean, it's kind of like me. I mean, you know, I got back into a little He-Man kick here a while back, and you know, I'm looking at these figures. They still have a value. I kind of like to start unloading those and maybe put that money toward, you know, picking something up. As a matter of fact, with the He-Man figures that I have, it's possible that I could just pay for a Devastator gift set, one of my gift sets, that way, you know, not be out any money. So, you know, I mean, it's just being smart with your collecting, and that's one of the things you can do. Did you give the item number for that?
Yes, I did. Gave the location, the shipping, the price.
I remember giving the location, but I missed the item number. But I believe that'll do it for the eBay items of the week this week. I thought it was very appropriate, given the substantial nature of our news today. You know, if you're in the market for a vintage G1 Devastator and a gift set box, you know, they're out there. They're going to be pricey. But most people, I believe, will just settle for the reissue and be happy with that. But you know, that's not a knock on vintage collectors. I mean, if I can get a vintage figure, you know, relatively inexpensively instead of a reissue, I would too. I mean, simply because they're the actual vintage ones.
And I've heard some people talking about, you know, scoffing at the price because people are taking the yen price and converting it and coming up like 130, which I think some websites are putting them up for like 109. So it's not that all that bad. But I've heard people saying, well, hey, you could, you know, buy a complete vintage for that price. And maybe you can, but it's not going to be as mint as one fresh off the assembly line.
I don't know, though. The one that you got was
pretty
darn mint.
Yeah, it's got a couple of flaws in the chrome, though, but I mean, heck, I've bought new toys or like that. The one I bought was pretty nice. It's not complete, though. I'm missing an arm. I don't think I gave it maybe $80 for it.
The pieces that I gave you, I had some extra Devastator pieces. Did that help you at all?
Oh, yes, it helped tremendously. I think it was pretty much everything except for the, that one arm that I don't have. I think you gave me, because it was actually missing a lot more than that when I picked it up, but you gave me a lot of the small guns, one of the arms. And actually, I think right now I put one of the cheap knockoff. Because, you know, we talked about the high-quality knockoff, but then there's just cheap knockoffs that you get, like in Easter baskets. I had one of those that had been on display for the longest time. So I just took one of his arms, and surprisingly, the authentic fist plugged into that knockoff arm, and then the knockoff arm fit on the authentic scavenger, because I think that was the arm it was. And it looks great. I mean, you can't tell the difference.
It's not tied or loose?
No,
or
it fit perfect, surprisingly. It fit better on the authentic toy than did the knockoff that I took it from.
Now, would you replace that with the actual vintage item, though?
Oh, yes, I would.
Are you looking at? Oh, okay. I didn't know if you would just be cool with that or what.
Well, for now, I'm cool with it. It's one of those things I may pick up down the road. Heck, I may even forget. But I'm like you. I'm going to pick up this reissue. I've got the vintage one on display. I may even just leave the reissue sealed. I may open it just to mess with it. But then, especially this day and age with the quality control issues that you can sometimes have, you know, I'll probably open it just to check everything out, and it'll just stay mint in box instead of mint in sealed box, and just keep displaying the vintage because it does look nice.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, let's move on to our next segment.
Now it's time for Out My Wallet.
Alrighty, Greg, ouch my wallet. Did you say ouch?
My wallet did not say ouch. It did say ouch a little, but compared to the way it said ouch, you know, on our last podcast, yeah, it was a very minor ouch. Now, if anything, the first item I have here on my list was something that was actually in the BotCon haul. But what happened was I was trying to do my BotCon haul from memory. I had very little of it actually in hand. I had the stuff I had in my backpack that was in my carry-on. The majority of the stuff I had, I think during the podcast, I forgot about the knockoff Seekers until you mentioned yours. I was like, oh, yeah, I got those too. Because it was all in a big box that was being transported back by a friend. Actually, it was Sidecutter, the owner of Captured Prey. I was hauling my stuff back for me, so I had a lot of stuff in a big box, and I didn't go get that until this past Saturday, which was a week ago from today as we're recording. So it was like I had all the stuff, you know, in the box, and I was trying to remember, and there was one item I forgot until after we were done recording, and then you and I talked about it on the phone, was the United Jazz. I picked him up at a booth. It was on my to-get list. It was one of the first things I wanted to track down because I just like the paint apps on that one. It has a lot more detail than the U.S. release. Went around, and you know, I knew this thing had kind of skyrocketed. I was hoping to get a good deal. First table I went to that I saw one, I was like, how much for the Jazz? And the guy's like, $60. I'm like,
forget that.
Yeah, it's like I was prepared to do 45. He was like 35 initially. I know there's a little, you know, he's sold out. I'm willing to do another $10, and he's like, I can't let it go 45. Literally walked around the corner, three tables away. There was one sitting there with a sticker on it that said 35. And as I was reaching for it, another guy who was a little closer to the table reached out and grabbed it. Literally, my hand was – I was reaching for it when he grabbed it. And he finds the owner of the table,
that's
and is like,
kind of
hey.
A dick thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of like had his back to me, though. I was kind of, if anything, I was kind of beside of him, but like a step behind him. So he probably didn't even see me. I was kind of reaching past him to get it as he was reaching. So he probably didn't even see my hands after he had it in his hand. So I'm not going to blame this guy personally. I mean, if he listens to the podcast, he may remember, you know, grabbing a toy and another guy going, oh, man, you know, because that's kind of my reaction. And so he finds the proprietor of the table and wants to purchase it. So I'm still standing there. I'm like, dude, do you have any more, or was it the only one? He's like, I've got one more. I'm like, I'll take it. And so I got my United Jazz for $35, just around the corner from a guy that didn't want to budge off $60.
You know, that's one thing with dealers at BotCon. You know, I mean, it's amazing how many around there, you would find some dealers that would be happy to work with you and make a deal. And then you would find dealers that's the price. I ain't talking to you about it. You know, that's what it is. They don't want to budge. And there was one dealer there. His prices were astronomical. I don't remember what website he was, if he was a website at all. But he had like vintage combiners for like $300 and stuff like that. And I walked up there and I was looking at the combiners, and they had he had a Defensor that was like really nice, but it was the metal chest version as well, and he had like $350 price tag on it, and I'm like, I'll give you $150 for it right now. He's like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm like, dude, it's a generous offer. You know, most combiners go for $100-$150, you know. He goes, no, that's the metal chest version. It's super rare. You can't find that anywhere else. $350. He said, don't insult me with such a low price. I'm like, buddy, you ain't going to sell it. I went by there on Sunday just to make sure. And sure enough, it was still sitting there. Matter of fact, it looked like it was laying in the same position that I set it down in. And I don't think anybody else had even looked at it. His table hardly had anybody around it as well. I don't know if you remember his table or not. I can't really name his name because I don't know who he is.
Right. But I don't remember which table that was either off the top of my head.
He was kind of in the back. There was the, I think it was like the display that had all the, like the Hall of Fame figures in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you had a Bumblebee case and a Prime case and everything. His booth was like right in front of it, okay. But around the corner.
Okay, I do know the guy you're talking about. Cause wasn't he also the one that had the Star Saber missing the sword and hilt?
No. That was a different guy. That was the guy across from him and around the corner.
Oh, yes, I do know the guy you're talking about. He had the booth last year where he had like 30 Computrons lined up. That was the same guy.
I remember him too, yeah, and he had astronomical prices on those, mm-hmm. And people's like, how much for the Computron? He'd tell them, and they're like,
well, there's a whole issue of supply and demand, and he's got 30 complete Computrons there on his desk. I mean, I'm sure, you know, if anything, he was hurting himself because he had so many. People are like, dude, you've got 30. You can't talk about how rare it is when you've got 30. Yeah, and he had the astronomical price nobody was willing to pay, so he took all 30 of them back home with him. Yeah, I can kind of see it from his point of view. I mean, if you know, he probably has a lot of money tied up in those, but, you know, when they're normally selling complete for, you know, around 100 to 150, maybe 200 on the top end, you can't have 30 of them on your table and price them at 350 and expect to move them.
No. You know, it's just a testament to some of the dealers, you know, how awesome some of them are, and then how really crappy the other ones are. And, you know, there's a guy that had a table just adjacent to him that was selling G1s, and he had reasonable prices on him, on his stuff. I almost bought a G2 Ramjet, a vintage G2 Ramjet off of him. He had an $80 price tag on it, and he was willing to come down to $60 on it.
Man, I wish I'd known about that. I'd totally bought it for $60.
Yeah. And I almost bit, but that was around the time where I was trying to pick up the Road Caesar. And I'm like, G2 Ramjet or Road Caesar? Road Caesar. You know, so I didn't mean to cut into your
thing. That's okay.
There, but, I mean, I thought it was a nice little tangent about the dealers there.
If nothing else, we'll encourage more listeners to go to make it to BotCon next year. Start saving now. Don't wait till
start saving now. Yeah. And
don't wait till the month before and be like, oh, I want to go, but I can't afford it. Start saving now. It's worth it.
Well, not just that, but I mean, you know the dealers that, you know, you don't have to sit there and say, oh, okay, it's a high price, but I'll pay it, you know. I mean, I would only do that as if it was the only figure in the room that I could find, and I really, 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 really wanted it, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
All right. Anyway. So, anyway, don't have a whole lot else, because as I said, oops.
Somebody forgot to mute their phone.
Yeah, sorry about that. You can edit it out if you want to. All right, so the other thing I got, because, you know, having spent so much money at BotCon last week in the trip, you know, I'm trying to minimize my spending, but there are only a handful of items I want from Dark of the Moon. Generations, we don't even know anything past Warpath, who I already have, although we were told that BotCon's going to go through the end of the year, but we don't know if there's anything else or if it's just these last waves are going to saturate. I mean, Warpath could end up being a shelf warmer for all we know.
I have a suspicion that San Diego Comic-Con is going to...
reveal more generations.
Yeah, there's going to be some more generations revealed.
I would have thought they would have revealed them at BotCon, but they didn't. So, as of right now, as far as we know, they don't have anything in plan for generations past Warpath. So, if that's the case, and the line's going all the way to Prime debuts at the end of the year, expect to see lots of Warpath and Wheeljack and Thundercracker. If they're the last wave, that's what's going to saturate. If not, you know, hey, if we get some reveal San Diego, you got some new stuff to look forward to. But in the meantime, Dark of the Moon, there's only a couple things I want. Some of them I already have. I got the Voyager Megatron. The other thing I wanted was some humanized Roadbusters. I got one picked up at the convention from another collector, but I wanted one more to customize. You know, used to be a huge NASCAR fan. I wanted to paint one, so I've actually found some Roadbusters. Yes, I'm a redneck. I admit it. But I actually found some more humanized Roadbusters. I would rather have had the clean car, but I'm thinking, hey, for at least one custom to have guns all over it, it'll look neat. So I picked up my second Roadbuster the other night to customize. And then just last night, I was in a Walmart that's in another town I don't travel through all that often. Had other reasons to stop, but I thought, hey, let's check the Transformers. And they had the Walmart exclusive Deluxe Prime mold.
Ooh.
And I picked
that
up.
Is it as nice as I've heard?
It is. I mean, if you want to compare it to the Battle Blades Voyager or the Revenge of the Fallen Leader, yeah, it's not going to hold up to those. But for a deluxe toy, it does a really good job of going from that truck to that robot and looking the part. I mean, you'd think, you know, you try to scale down the Leader or the Battle Blades, you know, because they did such a fantastic job. There's no way you could get that complex at that size, but it's better than the Voyager from the first movie. If you remember that Prime that came out, he also had a little bit of a backpack on him, and this guy has a backpack, and it's the same part of the truck that's the backpack. But just the rest of the toy, I think it does as good as that, if not a little better, because it actually uses the actual truck windshield for his chest, where that one had the fake chest. I think it's great. And what I really like about it, and I didn't notice this until I was transforming it last night and was sitting it next to the Voyager Megatron, it is in scale with Voyager Megatron perfectly.
Ooh.
Because the Voyager Megatron uses a smaller type of, like the type of truck he is a smaller truck, but then also has the trailer, whereas Prime is just the tractor. You know, there's no trailer. And the kind of truck is a little larger than the type of truck Megatron is as far as just comparing cabs. And, I mean, you put them next to each other on the desk, they're the same height. The windshields, the doors are all the same size, so if you can imagine like a little person, they would be the same scale. It's just Prime has the longer hood and the longer, you know, back end where the tandems and the fifth wheel are, and Megatron has the trailer. So in vehicle mode, side by side, they are perfectly in scale. They're, you know, it's just like two different models of truck. One's a larger design, but the cab areas, which are pretty much the same size on most trucks, I mean, they're in scale. The wheels are even the same size and everything. It's like this toy was made to be in scale with your Voyager Megatron.
Awesome.
And even robot mode, yes, Megatron's a little taller, but if I'm not mistaken, in every movie, Megatron has always been a little taller than Prime, and it makes sense that if he's a tractor and trailer, he's going to be a larger robot than the robot that is just a tractor. So, I think that it's a great, even if you're just kind of lukewarm on this toy, if you really liked the Voyager Megatron, which you should because he's an awesome toy too, this guy's a must-have to sit next to him on the display shelf. If you want your Prime versus Megatron from this movie, unless they give us a larger Prime to pair up with a Voyager, a larger Megatron to pair up with a Voyager Prime, this is the one to get to put on the display shelf next year, Megatron. It's awesome.
You know, I was going to mention it here, but I'm just going to tell the listeners to put a mental bookmark on the Deluxe Prime. We'll have a little bit more about that later in the podcast. But yeah, it looks really, really awesome. I wouldn't mind having it myself.
And for $9.98, you can't. I mean, with the Deluxes, they're a little smaller with this line, but they've gotten the price down back under $10. The thing I used to love about the Deluxe class is that under $10, it made a good impulse buy. But then when the prices are creeping up around 12 or 13, they're still affordable to collect, but you're not as likely to just pick something up on an impulse when they get into the double digits on price.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have done whatever they've done to get these toys back under 10 bucks is it's appreciated. So for if you're just thinking about this guy, $9.88, it's a good impulse price. If you see him, just grab him, throw him in the cart, pick him up.
Definitely. I've been on the lookout for it, but I have yet to spot one.
Yeah, so. I've been some other collectors in the area have said they've seen the cases on a pallet at one of the Walmarts in this area, like when they pull the pallets out at night stock rate. But they're rather than giving it its own space, hey, this is our exclusive, put this here, they seem to be mixing them with the other deluxes. And right now, just the general release deluxes, it's like they open those cases, fill the pegs, so their store exclusive is still on the pallet. It's like they're not putting it out because there's no room on the shelf for it, rather than making room because it's an exclusive. And, you know, I've never in that store late enough at night to pull one from the pallet, but this store managed to squeeze some out. So
I'm kind of hoping – I know the local Walmart that I live near, the woman that stocks the toys during the day, I kind of see her from time to time while I'm working, and she knows that I'm a big Transformer collector and everything, and – she's actually come up to me and asked me questions about Transformers that she was wondering. And I think the next time I see her, you know, if I see her maybe Monday or something, I'm going, and if they haven't got the Deluxe Prime on the shelf, I'm going to ask her if by chance they have them in the back and point that out to her. That,
yeah, just kind of educate
they're
her.
Supposed to be, yeah, they're supposed to be the store exclusive and thus, you know,
Make room for it instead of just mixing it with the general releases and putting it out mm-hmm. when you get a chance.
And, you know, the deluxe, like you said, the deluxe size class is selling really well everywhere. I mean, yes, the stores are, the pegs are like chocked full of them. Most of them are bumblebees or some form of it, but they are still moving pretty well. And I think that a lot of that not only has to do with the anticipation of the movie and the collectors and the children as well, but also for the fact that for so long the Transformer shelves at Walmarts and Myers and Targets were near naked for so long. And now that there's a glutton of figures on the shelf, people are buying them.
And I think, again, it goes back to that price point, too. You know, the parents, yeah. There's something subconscious about seeing only three digits on the price as opposed to four. You know, before when a kid's like, ooh, mommy, I want a Transformer. And they look up there and see four digits. Like, oh, no, I can't get that. But then when they look up and see three digits, okay, you can pick one. You know, yeah. I think that makes a huge difference when they get the price under $10.
I've been guilty of that myself. You know, I mean, you know, well, it's $10, you know, instead of 15, 14, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After tax, you know, the $12.99 ones were close to $14, $15 bucks anyway. So, you know, I would much rather pay the $10 to $11, you know. So.
Right.
But,
All right. Well, yeah. I have one more item. This I actually picked this up on a cue from you. You were at, was it the Hamburg?
Marshalls
in Lexington, Kentucky, and you called me and was like, hey, they've got a Leader Starscream here for $24.99. You know, the Hunt from the Decepticons, and I'm like, really? Well, I didn't go out of my way to get it, but I was like, hey, I'll be in that area tomorrow. If it's still there, I'll grab it. And sure enough, it was still there. You know, I didn't pick this toy up originally, number one, because it was $45, the original price. And I'm not real keen on, you know, I mean, to me, Starscream is the way he looked in the G1 cartoon, the classics toy, the masterpiece toy for the masterpiece G1 Starscream. You know, I'm enjoying the movies for what they are. Some of the robots I can kind of get behind. I like their designs. Starscream is one of those that's always a little reluctant. He's never really appealed to me that much with his ape-like stance and arms. But I'm like, hey, I've heard the Leader toy is a marvel of engineering, and it's a great toy.
Matter of fact, it was released as a masterpiece in Japan.
Yes. And the only thing I don't like about it is all those stupid tattoos. Because
yeah.
I came close to buying the Voyager a couple of times just because the jet mode looked so good, and I heard it did a much better job than Movie 1 Voyager Starscream. But I just could not get past the tattoos. The Movie 1 at least had a clean jet. Because to me, I love Transformers realistic alt modes because it's all about the disguise. And to me, you know, if I'm going to buy a toy that expensive, I want it to pull off the Transformers gimmick as in being able to be disguised, not just in the fiction, but on my shelf. You know, I want to be able to turn these things into alt mode, sit them on the shelf, and then some people think I just have a die-cast car, truck, or jet collection. you know, I don't want it to be obviously a Transformer. And this thing with the tattoos all over it, it kind of pulls away from that, because how many F-22s have alien tattoos all over them? So I'm still working on trying to figure out how to get those off. I've been told that the alcohol, rubbing alcohol on a Q-tip doesn't work on the type of paint apps those are, which is what you usually use to remove paint apps. So I'm hoping to give this guy a nice clean jet mode so he'll look more like the Japanese masterpiece, except I only paid $25 for it.
Hmm. Yeah, he's really awesome. I picked him up, you know, I paid full price for him back whenever it first came out, but I was really happy to get it because he's a super awesome toy. The detail, the intricacy of the transformation, but yet he's still somewhat simple. Even though, you know, like I said, you know, he's got a lot of bits and parts that move here and there, but it's not so much that, you know, you're left going, where does this piece go? What does this piece do? You know, he's not, you know, super uber complex, and I think they pulled it off really well with that mold. $25 is a steal.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't too hesitant to pick it up, because the great things I've heard about it. I do have one more ouch. It just wasn't out of my wallet, at least not completely.
Did you have a gas pain or something?
No, it was just Transformer related ouch.
Did you have a gas pain?
No. My shattered glass Thundercracker from BotCon, remember all my BotCon toys were being hauled back by Sidecutter, so I didn't get them until last week, and I've been pretty busy this week, hadn't had much chance to open them. So last night, I got out my Action Master Thundercracker, because I'm like, hey, I've been looking forward to this guy. Well, shattered glass, but to me, he's Action Master, because that's the color scheme he has. And I wanted to get him out, transform him, so I could put him with my other Seekers. And what happened at BotCon was that when the first one I bought actually had the gold paint on his forehead. It was all smudged up. Well, they have the booth set up there that they want you to check your toys. If you have problems, you bring them by and swap them out. And so when they handed me another one. Now, the idea is you would think they would have some fresh, untouched toys to hand people. You know, because that's the whole idea is somebody brings back a defective one, you give them a good one. So he handed me one that was loose. So I'm assuming it's loose, you know, out of the plastic because they've checked it. But I just to make sure, I look over the thing. It's in jet mode. I look over the whole thing. Look at all the paint apps, and it looks good. Pop the cockpit down so I can see the head to make sure the paint on it's good. That's what bad one was turning. Like, it looks good. It just didn't have the launcher, so I took the launchers from the one I brought back, bagged it up, brought it home. Transformed it last night only to discover that in actuality what they handed me was a defect someone else returned. It has two left hands. The right arm has an upside-down left hand.
Oh.
And again, you know, had this been just, okay, they just handed me another sealed one, then yes, I would have seen the need to open it and transform it
and
check everything.
That's dirty.
I would have seen the need to open it and check, transform it and check everything had they reached me another sealed one, you know, which is what they probably should do in that case, keep some sealed ones back to do exchanges with. But they handed me one that's already open. Now, I know you can say it's what you get for assuming. You should never assume.
That's
dirty,
dude. But, I mean,
they're a business. You know, this is not the way you do. If somebody returns something, oh, yeah, this one has two left hands, you don't hand it to the next guy that comes down, hey, mine's got a paint smudge. What, you think he's going to trade and be happily accept two left hands over a paint smudge? No, they want good paint and the correct parts. You know, you take the one with two left hands, you put it in a bucket as a, you know, do not hand out bucket. You know, or if nothing else, you take one that has a different problem and then you swap arms so that now that one is good. You don't just hand it to a guy as it is, and that's exactly what they did. You know, I mean, I can accept partial blame because I should have transformed it. But, I mean, I think I had a good reason not to because the toy's loose and this is the booth that gives you replacement toys. The natural assumption is it's loose because they've already checked it. I mean, isn't that the kind of point of what they're doing there is to give people good toys in place of their bad ones? So, I did look over all the paint. I just didn't. That's pretty much the only thing I couldn't see in jet mode is the hand. So, you know. I sent Pete at BotCon a message on TFW. I mean, if I don't hear back from him over the weekend, I will probably call the club on Monday morning and just see if they would be willing, like if I remove the arm and mail it to them, if they will give me the same arm with the correct hand from their piles of defects that they took back from the show and mail me the replacement.
Here's the hoping, because didn't you have a little issue with them once before?
Yeah, the Dion. Maybe I can convince them to go ahead and just chuck the replacement arm in the box with Dion and send him on out.
You still haven't got your Dion?
No, that was the issue I had. I had bought my house last year. Dion was the club
That's
toy.
That's like last year, dude.
Yes. And what happened was I called them when I moved. Cause I didn't want to call before I moved because you never know things. Deals on houses can fall through at the last minute. So I didn't want to call and update my address until after I closed. You know, instead of a month before I got moved in, you had a month to move. But still, you know, I closed. And so the day after my closing, I called the club store and was like, hey, you know, because they hadn't shipped the toys yet. It's third-class mail. They don't forward it. So you have to pay additional shipping charge to have them remail it. So I called, and the lady answers the phone. I'm like, hey, I just moved, or I just bought a house. I just closed. I said, so I'd like to change my address on file. And so she went ahead and said, sure, and I gave her the information, and I gave her the keyboard clicking away. And then I asked her, I was like, did I get in time for the exclusives that I had ordered? Because I think, well, what was it last year? Punch, Counter Punch, and Shattered Glass Cyclonus, as well as the Dion free figure. I was like, did I get this change in time to have all my stuff shipped to the correct address? And she said, yes. This is they haven't gone out yet. We can print the new label and get that to the right address. So she assured me that I got the address change in time. Then, of course, pretty much everybody on the internet had received their Dion, and people were starting to receive their punch counter punches and stuff, and I got the shipping notices on those because I shipped them FedEx. I checked with FedEx, and they still had my old address, which actually they had they told me the things had been flagged for a problem because they still had my old street address, which was the apartment, and the old city, which was Lexington, but it had the new area zip code for Georgetown. And so obviously that's going to create an error because that street and apartment building doesn't exist in Georgetown, or even the city and the zip code, that zip code doesn't exist in Lexington, you know, so it was a bad address. And but FedEx, I got to give them props. They were willing to work with me on that, and I was able to just pick them up at the sorting facility in Lexington, so I got those toys. And sure enough, I go online to the club website, and for whatever reason, the lady, I've not heard the clicking away on the keyboard, the only part of my address she changed, or that was changed, was my zip code. It still had my Lexington address, but instead of the Lexington zip code, it had the Georgetown zip code.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
That adds to the ineptness of the Transformer Club.
And then I get an email telling me that my Dion was returned because they don't forward mail, and that if I want it, I have to send them another $5 for the postage to ship it back out. And I, on principle alone, I was like, no, you guys screwed up. You need to send me my Dion, and they still haven't. But I've heard some people have mixed results. One guy said he had two left lasers on his Thundercracker and didn't catch it at the show, and he's already contacted the club, and he just mailed in, you know, one of the lasers, and they're going to send him the correct one. Don't think he's received it yet, but it's in the works. So they're working with him. Maybe they'll work with me. You know, when I send the email, I'll explain to them what happened. I'll take pictures and be like, hey, if I send you this arm, can you send me a replacement? And while you're at it, can you chuck in the box of Dion? My Dion, and send him to, you know, if I have to pay the $5, I'll pay it. Because I was lukewarm on that figure anyway. It's just kind of the freebie. Just on principle alone, I wasn't going to pay the $5 for it. I pretty much, you know, paid for the club membership to go to BotCon anyway. But I like my Thundercracker enough that if I got to pay $5 in shipping to get my arm, or, you know, the correct hand, I'll do it.
You know, I've got the Dion figure, and you know, while I'm not a real huge fan of the mold, I think it's really nice and really pretty in those colors. I'm actually shocked that you still haven't got yours yet. I just assumed that you had because, matter of fact, I picked mine up last year at BotCon, in Orlando, and I remember messing with it in the car between Daytona and Orlando. And you were saying, yeah, I remember you saying, yeah, they supposedly have shipped mine, but it's probably waiting on me whenever I get back home. I don't remember you saying anything else about it, so I just assumed you got it. And, you know, that's gross negligence, dude. I mean, that's more than a year later.
Yeah, because the last message I'd gotten at that point, I was under the impression they'd shipped it too, because the last message I got made it sound like they were going to just go ahead and reship it. But then after I never received it, I contacted them again. They're like, no, we aren't going to ship it. We're waiting for you to send us the $5. And, you know, I was like, wow, okay. So, yeah, it's pretty bad.
I just go ahead and send them the $5 and say, send me my damn figure. You know, I mean, just get it over with, you know.
Well, to me, it was more on principle. Like I said, it's the principle of the issue outweighs my desire for that toy. Because, and like I said, I'm not that crazy about that mold. I already have it as Hot Shot. And again, Dion, it's a neat little throwback to a throwaway character in an old G1 episode. It's on a crappy toy that doesn't really look that much like Dion. So it's not like it was a wow, that thing actually looks a lot like Dion, you know. It really doesn't. It just looked good in those colors, but it doesn't look like Dion. So it's not, like I said, the principle to me was more important than the toy. And that's why I didn't really care.
Well, I wouldn't even make it an issue then. You know, if they're going to send it to you, they'll send it to you. If not, I'd say now, a year later, I'd say you'll never get it. I would just chalk it up to say I'm never getting it. Forget about it.
I kind of get the impression from the way things work there, there's probably a section of the store that's where they keep those kinds of things, or those return packages are just sitting over there. And it may be the only one left sitting there, but I'm willing to bet it's still sitting on a shelf with my name and old address on the box. But yeah, I'm going to try to get this arm replaced, because I do want my Action Master Thundercracker to have, you know, a right hand on his right arm, instead of an upside down left hand. Like I said, it'd be worth a shot if they agreed to send me the arm, and then I'll be like, well, hey, I never did get my Dion from last year because of the whole debacle of me moving, being told I changed my address and time, but then not receiving it. Any chance you could just chuck that arm in the box with him and ship the whole thing back? I'll try to get my Dion, but I'm not going to risk not getting my Thundercracker arm for it.
Yeah. Well, unless you got anything else, No. I'll move on to my little ouch my wallet. I didn't say ouch too much this week. I think the biggest thing I got was last Saturday, whenever we went over to Louisville to pick up your BotCon stuff from Orson at Captured Prey. While we were there, kind of a little backstory at the convention, I had my to-get list, and on my to-get list was United Megatron. And Orson had them and everything, but he was not, I kind of rank things on my to-get list as to, how badly I want them. And I really wanted him, but there were other things I wanted more. And by the time that it came down, okay, I've got everything that I want, that I really wanted, that I can afford right now. I'd like to get the United Megatron, but I can't now because I've spent too much money. I've got enough to get something else, but not the Megatron. Well, fast forward a week and a half, I've got paid since then, and I'm like, okay, since I'm out here, I asked him, I said, do you still have that United Megatron you set back for me? He said, oh, yeah, I still got it right here. And I bought it from him, and so I've got my nice, shiny, silver paint United Megatron. I'm kind of glad now, because I was not aware that they cannot reissue or cannot release the Megatron, the Classics Megatron mold anymore. I don't understand that. The U.S. toy gun laws are really confusing and sometimes nonsensical.
It's just a reflection of our political system in general. It's nonsensical. You have a bunch of idiots in Washington making decisions, and they're completely disconnected from the populace. So they make decisions that to them are good ideas, but out here in the real world, it's like, what? Yeah, I think it was at either BotCon last year or year before. I don't remember which one. I'm thinking it was last year. Hasbro, during one of their panels, mentioned that, yeah, the toy gun laws have changed since 2006. And even though they were able to release that Megatron in the Nerf gun colors in 06, and even in those colors, it can't be released now because it no longer passes the toy laws.
Even with the orange tip.
With the orange tip, which I have to give props. My original, because I ended up getting the Henkei, which is my main display Megatron, but I kept the Classics Megatron, and I gave it to my daughter, and so it's in her room, because she likes running around clicking it. But I'm noticing that the orange they used, the plastic they used for the tip of the gun and the tip of the scope, it's like fading. Like, the color is fading very quickly for a toy, and the toy's like 5 years old, and it's already faded to the point it's almost white.
Wow.
And it's just been in her bedroom. It's not been in direct sunlight or anything. I don't know if that was intentional because they knew fans didn't want the orange tip. So maybe they used a kind of plastic they knew that over a few years would fade out and not be as bright and obtrusive. Maybe mine's the only one doing that. I don't know, but I was noticing the other day that it wasn't, I picked it up and it wasn't nearly as orange as it used to be.
Well, see, that's why I like the United Megatron, and even the, I had the Henkei, but I sold it. Why I like the Japanese versions, there's none of that stupid orange on there. So, I mean, it looks like Megatron, and you don't have that distracting bright orange on the figure.
Well, it wasn't just the orange. It also had a lot of like, bright purple. And
yeah. Well, I can live with the purple because purple's somewhat of a Decepticon color. So, but even though it's not typically a Megatron color, or for G1 Megatron anyway, but you know, I really like the color scheme on the United version. It's got that shiny silver paint. It's not chrome, so you know you don't have to worry about scratching the chrome. Although I like chrome, it's this particular figure doesn't have it where the Henkei did. The other things that I picked up, actually, I paid for them months ago or a couple months ago. The Transformer Collector Club Ramjet, the G2 Ramjet. I've actually got them in hand now, both of them that I ordered. I have mine and then a TFW 2005 member, High Rise. He agreed to buy the second one off of me for slightly more than I paid for it. But, you know, I mean,
not near as much as you could have gotten out of it on eBay.
He's getting a good deal because I've already seen what some of the people are turning around flipping their Ramjets for, and he's easily saving $20. So, you know, it's not like I'm ripping him off or anything. I've got those in hand. He's really nice. I don't know if you've seen the pictures I posted. I think I posted some on Geek Existence.
I have. I want my Ramjet so bad.
He's really nice in those colors.
And the bad part is you have both yours in hand. You've had them in hand for several days now. I have not even gotten my shipment notification emailed that mine have shipped. Of course, I did order a Cheetor along with my two Ramjets. And I seem to recall last year they shipped all these single figure orders. Like if you ordered just Ramjet, those orders filled before people who ordered both. And so I don't think they've gotten around to filling the orders for people who ordered both
either
toys yet.
Either that or the Collector's Club just hates you.
So, yeah, I'm starting to think they do. Yeah. Of course, if the rumors we've heard about BotCon are true, I'm maybe just about done with FunPub anyway.
Oh, the
the staying in one location because it's better financially for them.
Well, if it's in Orlando, I can deal with that.
Well, yeah, because I got a place to stay in Daytona free. It's, you know, it's a driving distance to buy a plane ticket. But the rumors are if they do this, it's going to be Pasadena.
Oh.
Because there's a lot going out there, like for special guests, most of your voice actors and things are out there, so it's cheaper to get them to the show. You know, plus they were looking at the turnout from 2009, and they're like, wow, we had the best turnout ever.
This year's turnout was horrible. Not as good as Orlando's, from
hopefully,
what I understand.
Hopefully this will be eye-opening to them. The thing about a convention, I'm going to go rabbit trailing again, but the thing about a convention like that is you get a lot of your walk-ins are there because, you know, hey, how often does a Transformers convention show up in town? You know, so you have a lot of curiosity there. So you have a lot of people walk in, pay the $9-$10, or get in just to kind of check it out, and probably buy some stuff while they're there, and then leave. You know, maybe hang out for a couple events or panels. But when you revisit a past town, a lot of that curiosity isn't there. You know, because people are like, oh, yeah, I remember that was here 2 years ago. And, you know, and they may not return, and most likely won't. I think that's why the turnout was so low this time, because they just did it here 2 years ago. And so you pretty much only had your hardcore convention goers showing up. A lot of your general admission walk-in traffic is going to be hampered by having the location in the same place.
Well, you know, if they do decide to have it in Orlando again, I think it would work at Disney World simply because of where it's at. You know, Disney World, you know, you have vacations
there. Yeah,
because
you got a lot of tourists there, so you got a lot of people that are going to be in Disney from all over the country anyway. They're already there from all over the world. Because that's the idea of moving the convention around, is if you put it in Ohio, well, there may be people there in Ohio that will drive to it, but they wouldn't drive to it when it was in Kentucky or if it's in Atlanta or if it's in Florida or if it's California. Those people are never going to go to it that far away. They're not a hardcore fan. But, hey, if it's just one town over, hey, I'll drive over and check it out for a day. And, you know, it's usually, you know, each area, it's good to hit once because a lot of your people are like, hey, well, I'd hit it if it was next door.
That's what she said.
You go back next door 2 years, and they're like, oh, yeah, I did 2 years ago. It was kind of neat, but I don't really want to waste another Saturday. So I think it's a good idea to keep it moving. I'm like you, though. Now that you mention it, Disney would be the one of the few locations they could hit multiple years and still get the walk-in traffic.
Yeah, they could hit it constantly and not worry about
tourists there.
Yeah, not worry about decline each year in attendance. I mean, you might have a slight decline in regular attendance from the from the general fans, because you know a lot of your West Coast people are a lot like us East Coast people. You know, we can't afford to go to the other coast every year. Now, if it's in Pasadena next year or somewhere on the West Coast, more than likely I won't be able to go, because you know, even if I start saving right now, you know, things can come up. I don't think I'd be able to go next year. I'll just have to look at the landscape of how it is. And even if I'm able to afford going, it's the time off from work that is a key thing for me. And I won't even know, it's just like this year, I won't even know if I have the time off from work until after the first of the year when our vacation schedules are done. So, the West Coast thing, I liked it out there, but I don't want to go there every year, especially, you know, 2 or 3 years in a row. It was extremely costly this year. It's something that's nice to do once in a while, but every year, no, can't do it. Sorry. But I didn't lose you, did I?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. The last two things that I got, I picked up actually while I was working the other day, but I saw them, and lending to what we were discussing a while ago, you know, under $10 price point. I'd kind of been on the fence about these, and I figured, what the hey, I kind of like the color scheme on one, and the other one, I'm just flat out curious, and I plan on doing some video reviews on our YouTube channel. We're in the process right now of working on getting that rolling more on in the Geek Existence podcast family. Getting our YouTube video reviews. I know our listeners of the guest podcast might be wondering where it's been. We've kind of been in the process of trying to reformat it a little bit, get it to where it's a little more manageable. Plus, we've added another person to our podcast crew. So hopefully, and he's really big into video reviews of gadgets. I picked up Dark of the Moon Thundercracker and Laserbeak. I really dig the Thundercracker color scheme on the Dark of the Moon Starscream mold. It basically wipes off all those ugly tattoos like you were talking about a while ago. Mm-hmm. And it gives it a more G1 color scheme, you know, the dark blue with the red and white stripes on the wings. He lacks a little of the black on the wings that I would like, but especially on the rear fins. But he still looks nice. I haven't opened him yet. Like I said, I'm saving these guys for the video review. So check that out on YouTube on the Geek Existence channel. Laserbeak, in package, he's kind of uninteresting. It's one of those figures that really. It has two modes, and it's not really good in either one, from what I can tell. But it might be a fun little toy, so I'm not going to try to judge it beforehand. I'm just basing my opinion right now on what I've seen of the toy and what I can see through the plastic window.
Yeah, what I've heard from online reviews, as far as when I've read about it, is that one mode is a robotic bird with a few jet parts, and then the other mode is a jet with a bunch of robotic bird parts.
Yeah, that's possibly, you know, the same way I'll think. But, you know, like I said, I really don't want to predisposition myself. So, just looking at it in package, I mean, it's interesting enough that had me curious enough. Who knows, maybe I'll love it and might pick up the gold wing version of it for Buzzsaw if they ever do that. But I believe that'll do it for Ouch My Wallet. We kind of took a few rabbit trails, but that is the nature of podcasting. You know, we are discussing things, so hopefully you enjoyed those little sidetracks. Let's move on to our big news, the Cybertron news section. In the Cybertron news this week, as you heard earlier, when we were talking about the eBay items of the week, G1 Devastator is going to be reissued in November by Takara Tomy. We found this out.
The Encore line is not dead.
Yeah, the Encore line is not dead. We found this out via TFW 2005 member Masabon, who is located in Japan. He is attending the Tokyo Toy Show, and he's taken some photos from around the convention. A lot of it is basically the Japanese Dark Side Moon, which is the Dark of the Moon Japanese version toys. A lot of it's kind of, pretty much the same thing we've got, maybe a little darker colors or a little shinier paint or something here and there. I think the biggest news is the G1 Devastator reissue. It had been rumored for some time. A lot of fans have been wanting it for a long time. I know I'm one of them. And now it is finally coming true. And that is fantastic.
Yes, I'm excited. We've already talked about it, but yeah, I'm excited. I want the minty fresh Devastator.
I think the second most interesting thing that I've noticed was the Transformers Chronicle 2-packs. And one of them is the Deluxe Prime, like we have here as a Walmart exclusive, and it is being packed as a 2-pack with G1 Optimus Prime.
Yeah, there's just all kinds of reissue news. They got the G1 Prime packed with that Prime, the movie Prime. And then they also have the Megatron pack where they have movie Voyager Megatron and a G1 Megatron.
Yeah. It looks, I don't know, is the G1 Megatron chromed or is it? Well, it looks like the one they have on display chromed, but
yes,
the one they have pictured is not. So it's, I don't know if they're going to have a different kind of color scheme or what.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because you're right. The one on the card there on the picture looks to be just gray plastic, but the one on display is chrome. You know, it could
and
be
just look at that minty Devastator.
Yes. But that's not the only reissue news to come out of there. There's the also the Bape Optimus Prime, which
bathing
I still
ape.
Don't know what Bape is. It's a bathing ape, but I don't know if that's some kind of wildlife reserve organization or what. And if it is, I don't know why they're selling Transformers. But they're getting a reissue of Optimus Prime where the robot is green and his trailer is camouflage, which kind of makes sense because it kind of makes sense because when Prime transforms you can't see his trailer. It turns out it was there the whole time. It was just camouflaged.
Yeah, it's I don't know why it's kind of ugly, but it's along the ugly lines of like the G2 colors. It's so gaudy and hideous. I love it.
I'm just a huge fan of that mold. My very first Transformer was G1 Optimus Prime, and I always liked Optimus Prime. As far as the character, he's not my favorite. Necessarily my favorite character, but he's up there. He's important to the franchise. And I don't know this. Something else he kind of reminds me of that this. It for one thing, I want it because it's just an oddity. It's the G1 Prime mold, which I love, and it's just another version of it. But I'm looking at the pictures and I'm noticing with the legs are a slightly different shade of green in the top. It kind of reminds me of the uniforms that the Marines were wearing in the movie Full Metal Jacket when they were in boot camp.
Interesting.
So he has a
jungle camo trailer. So I need to do a Google search. Let's do a quick Google search here. What is bathing ape?
I went to their official website and I could just see where they were selling clothes and things. I couldn't actually find the information about them as a company.
Well, there is a t-shirt. Bape store, New York. Bape. I guess they just sell a lot of camo stuff.
The Wikipedia says, it's the second link on the Google search. I typed in, what is a bathing ape? And it says, it's a Japanese clothing company founded in 1993. So it has nothing to do with wildlife. So
it's this bathing ape, and they have a ape head as their logo. It's
Okay. So it's a clothing store exclusive.
A clothing store exclusive, and you get a t-shirt with it. Also, we saw a small picture. I thought it was interesting was the legend size figures that we saw, you know, that we got here in the U.S. It was somewhat hard to find. The Reveal the Shield Legends was a G1 color scheme of Bumblebee, and a recolor of the Reveal the Shield Legend Starscream as Thundercracker. And I want the Thundercracker. It looks nice.
It looks fantastic. And what I find interesting is they're getting toys here that we got in the past Universe line. The Jazz and that G1 Bumblebee, we got those in those colors the first round of back during Universe. And then these, during Reveal the Shield, we had the six new molds with the Prime, Megatron, Starscream, and of course Goldbug. We actually got a new mold, he would repaint. But then we had Trailcutter and Prowl, which was Trailblazer and Prowl. And here I'm noticing that,
Trailbreaker.
Yeah, that's why.
Trailblazer.
Trailblazer's the GM truck. Okay. The Trailbreaker they're getting, and in this set they're getting the Jazz. I don't know if they just didn't get those in 2008 or 2009, whenever Universe was. And they're getting the Bumblebee instead of the Goldbug. And, they're getting the Thundercracker, but they're not getting a Starscream. And they're also not getting the Prowl, which was a new mold. And I find that kind of odd that those aren't included in the case assortment. You think the major character Starscream, and then you've got a new mold available, why not release it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We got some rumors to talk about, but we'll talk about them right after the next two things. The Masterpiece Convoy, the MP10, the new Convoy, new Optimus Prime Masterpiece, that we talked about a few weeks back, is officially unveiled at the International Tokyo Toy Show. Well, that's a tongue twister. And it is a full head and shoulders shorter than the original Masterpiece Prime mold. And seeing them standing side by side, you can tell obviously that the new Masterpiece Prime is a more cartoon aesthetic. It's got more rounded hips, more rounded chest. And the head is like shorter and wider.
And the longer antennas on the side.
Yeah. He has a more G1 aesthetic than the cartoon aesthetic.
And what I think is awesome about that is that, like, the first Masterpiece Prime, I love that toy, and it was great, but I've never cared for the alt mode, because it just felt like, okay, let's make a really awesome Optimus Prime action figure and get transformed into a box somewhat resembling a truck. I really like the detail on this new one in that the truck looks more realistic. It actually is passable for a realistic truck now.
Yeah. So the trailer doesn't stick up so far above the cab that it just looks awkward, original Masterpiece Prime.
But I'm digging it. I mean, I'm liking what I'm seeing. I'm not really too fond of the price that we're seeing this thing going to be going for, but it does come with the trailer, so it's
and a little Spike Witwicky figure too.
Yeah, so it is pretty close in line with the MP04 when it was released as far as price. I think the first release on it was over $200. But I don't know. I'm iffy. I would like to have it. It is in scale with Rodimus now, which is going to put him closer in scale with the existing Seekers. Of course, there's rumors that they're redoing those as well, so I may wait and see on that. But, this is one of those deals where when it comes out, I'll hear some reviews, see how the quality is, because I know Rodimus, the first release, had some quality issues that they're going to be fixed with the second release. This may be one of those toys where I will wait and see what the reviews are, what the quality's like. If it's good and I can afford it and I've got the money, I may pick it up or wait for another release. But, I know I want it. If it weren't for the hefty price tag, if it were only $100, I would say I'm definitely in. But we have that hefty price tag of over, $250.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I'm kind of hesitant simply for the same reason of Rodimus. I haven't placed a pre-order on this Prime yet simply because of what happened with the Masterpiece Rodimus thing that we had, with the fall apart shins and everything like that, the quality issues. I want to wait till these get released and people start talking about them, saying, hey, this is a really good mold. I don't see any major issues with it. You know, whenever they say that, whenever I start seeing something like that, then that's whenever I'll start considering dropping 250 bones on this guy. Until then, I'm kind of waiting with bated breath. I mean, yeah, I want it, but I want to see something about it first.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I don't know. I do have the Rodimus, which I did pre-order ahead of time, and when I heard people talking about the quality problems, I have still yet to open mine because I'm scared that it's going to break. It's like right now, it's still mint in the box. I've slid out the tray and looked at it, but it's not been removed because, you know, as long as it's in there, I can hope that there's nothing wrong with it. And, you know, and I can't afford to buy it a second time after they fix the problems, you know.
Well, so, see, you know, I thought about that too, but at the same time, you know, I don't want to buy a figure like that that, you know, it's just going to sit there in a box and I can't enjoy it if I don't have another one open and loose to enjoy.
Right.
I'm glad that the U.S. version is coming out with a Target Master, although it won't have the trailer.
Yeah, I like the trailer. I would still get the Japanese release just for the trailer. I would probably get both, one to be Hot Rod, one to be Rodimus. My only regret was buying from that first wave. I should have waited. I had no idea because in the past, this wasn't really an issue. All their previous Masterpiece releases have been pretty good quality. They make sure they get it right. Rodimus is the first one I can recall hearing there were this many issues, aside from the Starscream with the weak wing joints, but that had more to do with the type of plastic, because the other releases didn't have that issue. That was my only mistake, was biting on it so quick. I wish I'd waited for the second release, but, you know, I probably will eventually open it, check it out, and hope there's no problems.
Yeah, I do want a Rodimus, but I'll probably wait on the second release of it. This Prime, though, I think would come first, simply because I think I like Rodimus, don't get me wrong, but Prime is higher on my favorite character list than Rodimus Prime. So, you know, I think I would pick this up before I would pick up Rodimus. The last bit of news that we have that is official news, it's concerning the TCC Ramjet and Cheetor. For our Canadian listeners, the Canadian Postal Strike, as reported on the Facebook page for the Transformers Club, has delayed the shipping for Ramjet and Cheetor. They will ship as soon as that issue is resolved. But if you're waiting, if you're in Canada and are waiting on your Ramjet and Cheetor, you will get them, but it'll be a little bit delayed because of the postal strike. I don't know if Canada has alternate methods of shipping. I'm sure UPS and everything, but I don't know if UPS uses their postal system as much as the U.S. does. So I don't know how much that would affect them, but... if you're wondering, there you go. There's that little bit of news. Check out their Facebook page, the Transformers Club, and they have that little bit of news on there. Now on to our rumor section under the news. And the biggest rumor, I believe, would have to go with more Encores that are planned on coming out. Upon hearing this rumor, I can't help but be giddy. Even though I already have vintage ones of the main ones that have been mentioned, I would love to have reissues of these guys.
And before we actually tell what these rumors are, we first want to preface this with the people that kind of shared these rumors with us. These are the guys who on TFW have like 60, 80 news credits. They've been very reliable in the past with saying, hey, this is what's coming, and then sure enough, it comes. So it's a very reliable source we're getting these from. We're not just taking, you know, hey, there's a thread about it, and a lot of people are saying it's coming. These are reliable rumors.
Yeah.
They have a very good possibility of being true. That's why we bring them up.
They've actually been hinted at for some time. Now, we haven't had any official official announcement on these figures, so keep that in mind as we talk about these. But know that the same group of people that have that are talking about these also were talking about the second Masterpiece Prime and and other figures like that, you know, months before
and
they were even
unveiled. Encore Devastator.
And Encore Devastator, which is confirmed now. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and pop that cherry. It's the first rumor is the Dinobots are going to get reissued. And
I'm wondering if that's going to be five individual reissues all separate, or if it's going to be one huge, giant, mega gift box.
Could you imagine if it is a gift box? That, I mean, that thing will be more expensive than Predaking.
Well, the thing is, you can get the really high-quality knockoffs, which I own, because I bought, and got all five for $180. And they are as good as the real thing, because I have vintage Dinobots as well, and they're indistinct. There's a couple differences. Snarl's head is more of a smoked, the clear plastic's more of a smoke color, so it's a little darker. And I think there's a couple of other minor differences I can't recall off the top of my head similar to that. But for the most part, quality-wise, they're perfect for $180. So Takara, you know, needs to try to, if they can get these out in a five-pack, they need to at least match that price.
I'm more inclined to see them release them as a as individuals. I think they would sell better that way, you know, because you would have fans that would be more inclined to pick them up in, you know, pick their favorite character up rather than a whole box set. Plus, the whole box set would be really cost prohibitive. You know, I mean,
some people may only want Grimlock and Swoop.
Yeah.
You know, those two probably produce in the greatest numbers, and then, you know, the people like us would want all five. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and in past reissues tended to be around $35, but I know economics have changed, exchange rates have changed. So I could see them being, you know, in between the $40 to $50 range, which wouldn't be too bad, because then all five of them would still be under $200, so. Or if they're $50, it'd be $250 each, or $250 for the set, which isn't too awful bad, but I would hope they would hit that, you know, 40 or under each price.
Yeah. Well, it's also of note, too, weren't the Dinobot molds either, were they lost or were they damaged?
I'm not sure. I don't think we ever were confirmed either way. I think they were just assumed lost because we never got the reissues. And there were even rumors back when, you know, the reissue lines, especially like the TFC line with the book styles were coming out, that the molds actually existed, but the dinosaurs just weren't as popular in Japan as they are in the U.S., and that Takara didn't feel it was a, you know, it would be a wise move. So I've heard rumors.
That was back when it was just Takara, though. I mean, now it's that it's Takara Tomy.
So it may be that because like I said, I've heard rumors from every spectrum, for they were lost, to they were damaged, to they had them and just didn't think it'd be profitable. You know, if it were the latter, then maybe now that it's Tomy running things, they're like, what are you talking about? They love this guy in the U.S., you know, these Dinobots, especially Grimlock, let's reissue them. So, I mean, who knows? If it's the latter, you know, if there's no new molds to make, they could be around $35-$40. You know, but I get what you're hinting at on the other. I think Hound was a little pricier, and maybe Blitzwing, some of the ones that we were told there was damage to the molds, they had to repair them.
Soundwave.
They had a little higher price. Yeah, Soundwave. They were a little pricier for that reason, so... Who knows? They could be higher than 50. I hope not, but we'll
see. I'll definitely pick them up, even though I have them all. And second of all, we've heard rumor of Star Saber and Victory Leo, Victory Saber. We've heard rumor of that, but in all intents and purposes, I've heard that that is essentially squashed for now. They would like to do those, but I just don't see them doing it very anytime soon. And some people in the know say that they're nowhere near reissuing Star Saber and Victory Leo.
Yeah, that's the same sources that are telling us these rumors.
Yeah.
With the Dinobots and the next one.
The next one, I also have one version of it, the vintage version. I would love to have another one to keep sealed, and that is G1 Scorponok.
And the rumor is, if they do Scorponok, Black Zarek will be there as well.
Yeah.
And all the people who fear GPS would just rejoice, because I'm sure they would probably not use the swirly gold plastic, just plain gold plastic, which would increase the durability. At least we would hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to pick up a Scorponok to keep sealed, And then the Black Zarek, they'd get my money three times over because I buy two of those, one to keep sealed, one to open up and display. And Black Zarek, for those people who aren't in the know, let's talk a little bit about Black Zarek. It is essentially the G1 Scorponok mold with some minor changes. He's got like a trident, I believe.
Yes,
a remolded head. Yeah. I think he's also got a shield, different shield too, doesn't he?
Possibly. I'm not real sure. It looks awfully similar without pulling up pictures of both. My recollection seems to think the shield was pretty similar to Scorponok.
But the
color scheme, he's mostly black with a lot of gold plastic and some red plastic. So he just looks more menacing than the giant, purple and green scorpion.
And
he's extremely rare because he was released in Japan only back in the days of G1. It was after, I think it was was he in the Victory series or was he in Master Force?
I'm wanting to say Master Force.
Yeah, wherever he was.
I'm not 100% sure on that one. But
it was well after our Headmaster toys, when Japan was kind of going a different direction than the U.S. was with the toys. And we were getting Micro Masters and Action Masters. They were getting Deathsaurus, Victory Saber. Black Zarek.
Overlord.
And so, Overlord. So these are toys that collectors, because of their Japanese exclusiveness, they've been like top tier pieces of people's collections. And so, yeah, that would be neat to have the Black Zarek. Would that be one of our first reissues of a Japanese only toy, or that, I know we had the Stepper reissue, but
Stepper,
was just a repainted Jazz, though. So it wasn't like a Japanese only mold.
Well, the Black Zarek is essentially a repainted Scorponok. So I don't know. No, I would go with Stepper as being the first Japanese only, because we didn't get a Stepper here in the United States until they brought it over as reissue Ricochet. So, technically, Stepper was the first reissue of a Japanese character. I'm trying to think. Was there... There seemed like there was one other thing that I wanted to mention. There's the Chronicles. I'm kind of looking back through the thread here.
Something from the Tokyo Toy Show?
Yeah. Don't remember what else. Well, if something
Vortex
else comes up, we can mention it next week. I think there's one other rumor that we want to mention. Oh, and this also reminds me of something else I got this week, actually paid for it earlier. The Master Shooter Collectibles Mega Gun and Brown King. I got mine in from Captured Prey. Got them rather quick since I live right here in the state. So it's about, 2 hours away. So, he ships them out. I get them the next day, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And I must say, these little guys are fantastic. They were well worth the wait. Personally, I like Brown King better, the color scheme, but Mega Gun is just as sweet. I'm not exactly sure on the numbers on these guys, but I think Mega Gun was produced 2-1 to Brown King. So,
The way we heard it, it was originally planned to be 500 of each, but there was a mistake in the communication with the factory, and they produced a few more Mega Guns and just a few less Brown Kings. So it ended up being pretty close to a 2-1 ratio, but we don't know the exact numbers, but that's what we heard. I'm digging those guys too.
The quality is, it's up there with an official release toy.
Yeah, they're as good as any other third party. Fans Projects, Head Robots. I mean, these guys with the quality of plastic. It's ABS plastic done with steel injection molding. That's what Capture Prey had up on their website, and you can tell they're good quality. And the designs are neat. I love the bios. Which I think we've been talking about those in the past.
Yes. Love fart jokes.
Yeah, they took the name Brown King and just kind of ran with it and made some, I think it says he was made from the parts that Unicorn, instead of Unicron, had ejected from his rear hatch. I think they're pretty hilarious.
And Megagun himself was actually kind of a fart joke, too. He was burped and farted on and came to life.
Yes, he was apparently Unicorn was quite gassy and from eating too many planets. And unintentionally created Megagun from it's kind of implied to be Megatron's leftover parts when he was upgraded to Galvatron.
How can you not love that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool, I have to admit. But anyway, the rumor that we have is from the Master Shooter Collectibles. We don't really have any hard details, only that they're going to do a low production run. I'm thinking from what I understand, it's going to be like a resin cast from the not rubber molds as opposed to steel molds, because it's going to be a lower production run. And it's I don't really know a whole lot, except that they plan, because they sell a lot of their stuff through, well, so far everything through Captured Prey, that they're going to, this item is going to debut at the next Kentucky meetup. So those of you who go to TFW, go to the conventions, get together threads, there's a meetup thread in there for the Kentucky fans, and whatever this item is.
Since Captured Prey at Orson, he comes to Kentucky meetups. I'm sure he's going to have these in hand, and I love these two little guys. I'd love to have, if this is true, I'd like to have more.
Mm-hmm. Again, we don't know what it is. Just the rumor is that they're going to have something that's going to debut there, and then depending on how well they sell, the meetup's usually not big enough. I would think they couldn't sell out of an entire production run, but whatever they're making. So the idea is whatever's left is going to go to Slagicon, and whatever's left after that will probably be available online. But it's going to be a low production run, and just have to wait and see what it is. But that's the rumor we have, is that they're planning something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that is all that I have, unless you can find or remember something else.
Nope.
I believe that'll do it this week for Geek Existence Transformers, episode number 29. We hope you've enjoyed it. We've had quite a bit of stuff here to talk about. With these toy shows, like the International Toy Show, and I'm sure with San Diego Comic-Con coming up, we'll have more news each week. It remains to be seen, but I love looking at the stuff that's coming out, and just I'm just absolutely beside myself with the announcement of the reissues. I mean, I think that is the biggest thing. The Encore series continuing.
I tell you what, I'm unexpectedly, I am so excited about the reissue news that I'm tempted to just sell off my classics collection and just focus on G1 again.
Just sell off
all my classics to buy my G1 reissues and then hunt down other G1s. That's how excited it's got me.
It's not got me that excited, but it's got me excited.
I said I was tempted. I didn't say I was.
I believe that'll do it for this episode of Geek Existence Transformers. And again, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See you guys next week.
Hello, this is Paul Eiding, also known as Perceptor. And a cursory evaluation of Decepticon capability indicates a distinct... Oh, never mind. Thanks for listening to Geek Existence Transformers.
You've been listening to Geek Existence Transformers, a member of the GeekExistence.com family of podcasts. Check out our website at www.geekexistence.com, where you'll find information about our other podcasts in the family. There you'll find links and also a forum to discuss this podcast and others like it, as well as many other things geek. Interact with us on Twitter. Be sure to follow us, twitter.com/geekexistence. Also, search us out on Facebook. Here you can leave us messages as well as listen to each podcast as we publish them. Last but not least, be sure to subscribe to us and rate us on iTunes. Your feedback not only helps us stand out among other podcasts, but tells us what you like and dislike about us so that we may make our podcasts even better. Your hosts for Geek Existence Transformers has been Deron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf, and Greg Metcalf, a.k.a. Insane Galvatron. Thank you for listening, and join us next week for another episode of Geek Existence Transformers.